Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned in to our 20 Forever series. Today's message is about how worship is more than just a song, it's love expressed. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
We are going to jump into the word today. Are you ready? All right. I heard somebody say this, and I'm totally stealing their line, but I wore a suit today because I came to do business with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But I am really, really excited for the word today, and I really believe it's going to encourage you. And we are in a series called 20 Forever. Somebody say 20 Forever. 20 Forever. And we're talking about worship. Now, it's so important that we do this because even myself, I grew up in church, around church, and worship was something that I knew what it was. I knew it was at the top of service. I knew depending on what church we were at the moment, it could be 15 minutes or 3 hours, depending on where you grow up. Anybody have 3 hour worship where they're just like, sing it again? And you're like, I'm hungry. But we're talking about worship, and it's so important that we clarify this and really get an understanding and wisdom about worship. It's not enough just to have knowledge about something. There are a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge about something, but until that knowledge is initiated and moves into action, it really doesn't help us that much. So we want to get into a wisdom to worship. Wisdom is applied knowledge. I have understanding. I have knowledge about this. Now I'm going to apply it. And so we've been talking about worship and what it means to worship. And over the last couple of weeks, week one, we talked about what worship is and knowing that worship starts with love. That it starts with really, and here's what you need to know, a little secret. The Bible and following Jesus, it's actually not about you loving God. Spoiler alert. For God so loved the world. So the Bible is a love letter to humanity. It's not about you being in love with God and you show. It's first about him being so madly in love with people who didn't even ask him or care about him. He was so in love. He said, hey, I'm going to send my son just in case you may ever think about following me. The Bible's about God being in love with us. And out of response of that love that we talk about worship. Worship is love expressed. That last week we realized that God loved us so much that is now we express our love back to God, and you don't passively express love. Some people talk about, you know, that's just not me. I'm just not that. I don't have that much to say, and I'm just a quiet person. Let somebody say something about your kid and see how expressive you get. Some of the people, I don't express. Somebody says something about your kid, you ready to punch them right between the eyes. So the right thing will get you to express something. So we talked about love expressed, and this week, I'm really excited because I want to move a little bit further in our definition that we have. And I want to start with this first. I looked up in the dictionary the definition of the word worship, and this is what it says. It says, to ascribe worth to someone or something. Now, this is fairly true, but there's something I want to clarify that you need to know today. God is God whether you decide to worship him or not. So it talks about ascribing worth, and sometimes with the way we live our lives, it ascribes worth to things. When you go somewhere and you pay $14 for a movie ticket, you're ascribing that your time and $14 is worth what you're spending there. But what you need to know, whether you clap your hands or not, he is still King of Kings. Like, whether you decide to sing and shout, whether you participate, it has not changed God's value. Like you not or deciding to participate does not change God's value. What it does is it allows us to express how grateful we are and we respond to his grace. So I just want to set that foundation for some of you who thought, yeah, when I come in, God gets encouraged and he gets booster points from my worship. He would be okay without you, just so you know. Like he doesn't need anything from us, but he wants our worship. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So we need to understand that, hey, first of all, God doesn't need it, but he wants it because it's the only gift that we can give to God. Listen, I want to go and have you write this down. We've been using this as our anchor definition for worship. This is what it says. It says, worship is our love expressed to God as a response. Somebody say response. To his grace towards us. Today, I want to talk about that word response. That word response. And we're going to be in two scriptures today, mainly. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12 is where it's first going to be. If you don't have it, don't worry. We'll have it on the screens for you. But I want to talk about that word and really believe and share with you why we should respond in worship. Hebrews 12, 15, this is what the Bible says. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Verse 16, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn for a single meal. Make sure that you look after each other so no one fails to receive the grace of God, and make sure no one is immoral like Esau. I'm going to jump to Genesis 25. This is the story that the writer of Hebrews is referring to. It's a story of Esau and Jacob. And so if you want to turn there, I'm going to read it real quick just so we can get context. It's a story of Esau. It says, one day when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau arrived from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. All right, Jacob replied, but trade your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first, you must swear your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling his rights as the firstborn son to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil soup. Esau ate the meal, then he got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. The title of my message today, if you're taking notes, and I would encourage you to do that. It works as a fast pass when you get to heaven. You just show them your notes and they get you in the short line, get you right in. The title is The Worst Trade Ever. The Worst Trade Ever. Hey, we're going to pray real quick and ask that God would join us. Lord, we thank you and we need you. Show us who you are and allow us to get an understanding of how much you care about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I grew up making Christmas lists. Did anybody grow up making Christmas lists? Now, it's weird to me that not everybody made Christmas lists, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I grew up and it was a very big deal. Like your Christmas list, like I started making my Christmas list in like September. Like I was just ready. And the way it would work is my mom would say, hey, make a list of your top three things. It ended up being like 40 things because I just had a hard time deciding. But she would say, hey, the top three things, like the biggest things you want, put them on the list. And the top three, you'll get one of those three things. And my parents were so, so great and gracious. And they would always get me one of the top three things. And it was usually a combination of shoes, clothes, or a video game when I was little. So that was all. And then as I got older, it just went to shoes and clothes. And then my parents' taste got a little bad, so it just went to money so I could buy my own shoes and clothes. But I remember one year I made this list and I opened up the first gift and it was a pair of Jordans. And I got it and I freaked out. Like I was screaming, running around the house. I think I took my shirt off and like ran outside and was like, yeah! I don't know. It was very weird. But I was so excited, and so I come back inside, and my mom says, hey, will you head up to the game room with your brother Chandler? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we go upstairs, we look, and the second thing on my list was up there. It was when the Wii came out and bowling, and so the Wii came out, and we're like screaming, freaking out. My little brother's like 5 or 6. We're like, yeah! I like shoved him. Like, that's just what older brothers do. You're like, yeah! So we're freaking out. We're so excited. I'm like, this is the best Christmas ever. Like, I got two of my top three things. This is amazing. And I come back downstairs, and there's another gift. And I'm like, is Jesus coming back? Because I don't know. It seems like we're all about to die because you're just getting everything out right now. But I go down, and it was the third thing on my list, and I lost my mind. Now, what I realized as I was thinking about that story is all of my responses were relative to whatever I got. So when I understood the value of what I got or the perceived value in my heart, it caused a certain response in me that was relative to the reward. So I responded because I got a pair of J's and I'm like, oh man, it's gonna be so fresh. So I would freak out. I responded because I knew what it was worth. Now I wanna use that story as a platform to talk about our response to God's grace. And I wanna think about, if we say, okay, the definition is, worship is our love expressed to God as a response of his grace towards us. If that's our definition, and your response to something is always relative to the reward, like you see people on TV, they win $1 million, they freak out. Why? Because they know what that will do to their life. They know how that'll change their life. They know what that means. If we start to think about God's grace, I mean, just pause. The grace of God is the greatest gift ever given. Like, if we just start to talk about what it means, how it's changed our life, it is the greatest gift ever. And as I started to think about, okay, our response to God's grace, if worship is a response to his grace, it's a response to his grace. If it's a response to his grace, our response should be crazy. Many of us lose our minds over inanimate objects that add nothing to your life except for you can take a picture of it and feel like maybe you're a little bit better than somebody else. But for some reason, we can show up to a worship service and sit with our hands in our pocket and not respond to the greatest gift ever given. We can live our lives. We talked about that worship is a lot more than just a service. You need to know that. Worship, it can be a song, it can be in church, but worship is how you live your life. So why is it that we don't always respond? Why is it that we can see things that are just random gifts and we freak out at Christmas and we cheer and yell? And this has nothing to do with anything against gifts. I'm just saying, in comparison to what God gave you, why is it so much easier to respond to your Christmas list than the grace of God? I want to look at this story today, and the writer of Hebrews kind of paints a picture, and I want to read it and kind of give some thoughts that I have on why we don't necessarily respond to the grace of God. It says this, we read it, it's the first verse that we read, it's verse 15. It says, look after each other, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. It goes on to say after that, it says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. And then after that, it says, you can put it back up on the screen. After that, it says, make sure no one is immoral or godless like Esau. Now you're reading this scripture and it seems kind of random to me. Because it starts off, it says, make sure that everybody gets the grace of God. Getting the grace of God is simply receiving. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get your life together. You don't have to change. You don't have to make sure you're perfect. You just simply, it's a free gift. So you just simply receive it. It's talking about the grace of God. And then it throws in Esau. It says, hey, as we're talking about grace, don't be like Esau. And I would start, I was like, that seems, what do you mean? And so we read in Genesis 25 to get more context of the story. Esau and Jacob were brothers. And Esau shopped at Bass Pro and was an outdoorsman and hunted. And Jacob, I probably would have been friends with Jacob. I can't cook, but it says Jacob liked being inside. I don't really mess with outside that much. I just don't get it. Like, we didn't have houses. We were living in caves. And then we like slowly built houses and stuff. And then we want to act like sometimes, let's go act like we ain't got houses no more and sit outside. Like, that doesn't seem fun to me. Like, we've progressed past that. But progression, not perfection. But that's just dumb. But anyways. So these two brothers are sitting there and the story comes up and it says Esau was starving because he had been hunting all day. And he comes up to Jacob and he says, give me some of that soup. Now, this must have been some really good soup because Jacob responds with, oh, yeah, you want the soup? How bad you want the soup? It smells good, doesn't it? It's really good soup. I spent a long time working on this soup. He says, if you want the soup, give me your rights as the firstborn child. Now, you need to know that this was a ridiculous proposal of Jacob. The birthright was a very big deal. You would get the wealth of the father. You would get the authority of the father. and you would get the blessing of the father. And if you look at this proposal, it seems like, why would you even consider this? This is a terrible trade. But in the moment, Esau responds. He says, listen, I'm starving. What good is a birthright to me now? As I started looking at this scripture, I thought, why would you trade a birthright for a blessing? Or why would you trade a bowl of soup for a blessing? Why would you trade the authority, the wealth? I mean, the amount of wealth he would receive would change his life forever. It would set him up for the rest of his life. And I started thinking, why would you trade that bowl for your birthright? You want to know why I think Esau made this trade, one of the worst trades ever? I think it's because his present screamed louder than his promise. I don't think Esau didn't know what a birthright was. I don't think he made this trade out of ignorance. I don't think he made this trade out of, oh, I don't know what a birthright is anyway, so you can have it. I think he was fully aware of what a birthright was. I think he was just really hungry. In the moment, his present of I'm hungry seemed louder than one day you will have this. And in that moment, when he started focusing on the current situation, when he started getting to get caught up with what was happening right there, he made one of the worst trades ever. Now, some of you are thinking, Charles, what in the world does this have to do with worship? I think sometimes we don't respond to God's grace because we treat the grace of God like Esau treated his birthright. Think about it. That scripture says, look after each other so you don't fail to receive the grace of God. And don't be like Esau. What did Esau do? He traded something that was so valuable for his current situation. I think sometimes we can show up to church and we look at the grace of God, and it's not that we don't know what it is. It's not that we don't know the value of the grace of God. It's just in the moment, we're really hungry. We're really stressed out. We're really overwhelmed with the pressures of life. It's not that we don't understand that it's a big deal. It's not that we don't understand what he did for us. It's just in the moment, your present seems to get louder than the promise. So you can show up to a service. You can start to live your life. You can have an opportunity to obey God. And as you look at it, you think, yeah, I know about the grace of God, but I need to pay my bills right now. And it almost becomes a sign of the human condition. You ever heard somebody, even around Christmas time, they say, whoa, you got that? And they say, what? Oh, this old thing? I've had this for a while. Let me illustrate it this way. Me and my wife have been married for 2.5 years. We got a little baby on the way, which is crazy and so awesome. But in that, something that happens in marriage, if you're not careful, and it happens across a lot of marriages, is you need to know marriage is constant. What do I mean? You get married to someone and they're always there. So you wake up, they're there. You go to sleep, they're there. You make decisions, they're there. And it's so constant. And if you're not careful, what's constant becomes common. So it's so constant and you're always there that it slowly, if you're not careful, can become common to you. And maybe at one point when you would compliment and freak out about certain things, the longer you're together, you just start to expect it because it's been so constant that it's become common and now you've stopped complimenting. So it started off as constant and you were enthralled and you were in love and it was amazing. But over time, it just became common. And you're like, yeah, they always do that. Like, I know they do that. And then it became so common that you stopped complimenting. You stopped responding. Could it be that God's grace is so constant in your life that maybe it became common to you? That the greatest gift ever given was so constant, which is its greatest power. It's always going to be there. But if you're not careful, it is so constant that you allow it to become common. And someone gets on a stage and starts talking about the grace of God, and you say, yeah, I know about that. You hear it come up and you say grace and you're like, yeah, I know about grace. That, yeah, grace, I get it. Let's get some real revelation though. But could it be that his grace was so constant it became common and you stopped responding or you took the grace of God for granted? I want to come to you today to encourage you to do not let the grace of God become common to you. do not become so in routine of God's grace and mercy that you allow it to become common. That when someone starts to talk about it, you're like, yeah, yeah, I know about grace, but let's talk about revelations or let's talk about, no, the grace of God, you could spend the rest of your life talking about the grace of God and still not have it all figured out. I can't, if our response is a response to his grace can never become common. And this is not some big thing. And I spent hours. I'll tell you this little secret. This is like one of the craziest, most difficult and simplest message I've ever written in my life. Me and my friend were sitting there. We were working on, and we were like 3 hours in, had nothing. And all of a sudden I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, I need some sort of revelation on worship or something that'll just really show him. And God said, instead of a revelation, what if it could just be a reminder? Like a lot of us are educated far beyond our ability to execute. So that was good. We walk around saying, I need something new. I want to learn something new. I'm just going to remind you of God's grace. Because if it had not been for his grace, and his grace is something to respond to. We could take the rest of the year, the rest of our lives, and every message we have up on this stage be about grace, and that would be okay. Because his grace is the greatest gift ever given. And today, literally, I'm just going to remind you of his grace, because maybe if I remind you, you won't have trouble responding. Maybe if you get a reminder of what he's done for you, of how good he's been, then it will be easier to respond because you haven't forgot about it and you didn't let it become common and you said, you know what, I'm going to respond to his grace. Title of my message, The Worst Trade Ever. I want to give you a couple reminders of God's grace. And you know, when it comes to response, I don't think people on purpose sit in a service or live their lives or have an opportunity, I don't think they purposefully say, I'm not gonna respond. I don't believe that. I think what? It's just the pressures of life. It's just that in the moment, your present situation, it starts to feel bigger than what God has already done. And you go and you feel stressed out and you feel worried, but I'm here to tell you, don't make the trade. Don't trade your worship. Don't trade your response. Don't trade it for worry. Don't trade it for your current feelings or how it looks right now. Don't make the trade. And here's the reminders I want to give you of God's grace. The first one is this. It's saving grace because we need saving. My points are, again, this, in case you haven't caught on, it's a grace message today. Because if we could truly grasp his grace, if we could truly understand it, it would not be an issue at all. We wouldn't have to talk about why do we need to respond to it because we know the value of it. My first point, it's saving grace because we need saving. Yeah. Ephesians 2:8, it says this. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. This point is very simple, but you need to realize and remind yourself, you need saving. Listen. If you don't understand that, you start to think you're fine by yourself. If you don't remind yourself that it's not that you are a bad person and now you're a good person because you have grace. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if you don't understand that it's God saved us by his grace, it's saving grace because you need saving. What do? You start to think, I can do it by myself. I can save myself. And now you've put yourself in the place of God. So it's easy for you not to respond to something that you think you can do by yourself. You need to understand it's saving grace because God saved you. Now, this is so, and it's so elementary, but if you don't remind yourself of that I need saving, you can show up to church every weekend. You can have moments where you can worship outside of church and the way you lived your life, and you just sit there and think, you know what? It's not a big deal to respond to his grace because, you know, I'm a good person. And I show up. And I give, and I do nice things, and I open the door for old ladies, or I do what I give to charity. You can do a lot of good things. but it's only the grace of God that has saved you. I need us to get this, and I know it's simple, but we need saving. And by God's grace, he did that. My second point, write this down. You can't afford the cost of your sin. Again, there's no big revelation today. It's a reminder that you can't afford the cost of your sin. Imagine with me if me and my wife, we have the baby, and right after we have the baby, we go out to eat. And we're sitting there, have a newborn baby. We'll say, we'll order all this food. They bring the check, and I'll say, he'll take the bill. That would seem insane and ridiculous to expect someone who has no business, no ability, no money. They have nothing they can give to pay for the bill that they have ran up. I need you to understand that in this situation, we are the newborn baby. And God knew that we had no business paying for our sin. He knew we had no business paying for the hurt. And he said, don't worry, I got it. We need to remind ourselves that we cannot afford the cost of sin. Donating to charity is an amazing thing, but does not pay for the sin that your life has caused. And you can be a good person, and that is amazing, but you need to understand that in and of yourself, you cannot afford what your sin cost. And when you start to back up and you realize that and you understand that God saved me because I didn't even have any business paying for this, like I couldn't even begin to pay for this, then you start to think, okay, maybe I should respond. Like maybe in light of what he's done and maybe in light of who he is, my response is the only thing that I could muster up that would make any sense because I couldn't pay this by myself anyways. It's God's grace, it's his love, it's his mercy. And we gotta understand that, hey, it's saving grace and we can't afford the cost of our sin. And my third point, grace is a free gift. Just reminders today, in case your present is getting really loud. Just a reminder today, in case you started to think that maybe you had earned grace. Just a reminder today, if you thought because of who you were connected to and who your family is and how much money you put in the offering, you need to know today that grace is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8, we just read it. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. The grace of God is a free gift. And this morning, I just want to remind you of his grace. What would have happened if someone would have been there to remind Esau of his birthright? If in the moment he walks in, he's like, man, I'm really hungry. And man, give me some of that soup. Jacob's like, well, give me your birthright. And as he's about to make the decision, you stop and say, wait. This is the worst trade ever. Esau, I know you're hungry. I know you really want the soup, but don't trade your blessing for a bowl of soup. And it seems ridiculous, but day after day, we have moments where we're trading our blessing for a bowl of soup. Yes, sir. We're trading a response to God's grace for our current situation. And I know it feels big, but I promise you, his grace is bigger. Yes. If you'll just hold on, I'm just here to remind you, don't make the trade. Don't allow what's happening right now to get you in a place where his grace has become common and you just stop thinking about it and you say, yeah, I got the grace, but I need something bigger than that. I need something more. No, what did the Bible say when Paul is talking? He said, I asked God 3 times to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You need to know his grace is sufficient. What do you mean? His grace is enough. That's really it. I mean, his grace is enough, period. And God could not do anything else. He could never bless us again. He could not do anything ever again. And his grace would be enough. And today, I want to remind you of his grace. And as I start to think about this message and I think about the grace of God, I start to think about my own life. And if worship is a response to his grace, I need to understand what his grace saved me from. I need to understand that without his grace, my talent isn't enough. Like without his grace, having on a cool outfit or feeling like I'm somebody, it doesn't do anything. Without his grace, I wouldn't be where I am. And not you say that cliche. No, I'm saying like physically, I wouldn't be right here. Without his grace, and it's just, I have to take a moment, and maybe this message is just for me, but I'll take a moment to remind myself that without his grace, I'm not enough. Without his grace, without his grace, I wouldn't have the family that I have. Without his grace, I wouldn't have the wife that I have. Without his grace, I wouldn't have a little son on the way. It's important that we take a moment and we remember and we remind ourselves that we needed saving. That your good deeds, who you're connected to, it's not enough. And that if you understand that you needed saving, that I needed saving, and that his grace is a free gift, you reach a point in your life where what you do, who you are, it doesn't matter. Because you find yourself in a place where you realize my only response to his grace is to worship him. My only response. When I look at what he's brought me from, when I look at where I should have been, my only response is not to worry about what someone would think about me, is not to worry about your story, it's to stop and take a moment and say, God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you rescued me out of my addiction. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're seeing me through, Lord God. I thank you for your love. The greater thing is the more you know who you are without him, the more you can worship him. The more you realize that you're not enough, it says his strength is made perfect in your weakness. The more you understand that your good deeds can't make up for your sin, the more reason you have to worship him. I wonder if the knowledge of who we are without God has kept us from understanding who we are with him. Your knowledge of something is the ceiling of how you can worship it. Yes, so if you don't understand what you are without him, it makes sense that it's hard for you to respond. But maybe, just maybe, could we take a moment and think about who we would be without God? And in light of that, we could worship him. Listen, don't make the trade. It says at the end of that scripture, it says, and from that moment on, Esau showed contempt for his birthright. He wrote it off. And later on, that changed what you need to know is the Bible, it says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that wasn't the plan. Firstborn son, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But in a moment, because of how loud the current situation was, he just wrote it off. I want to encourage you, every time you walk in a church service, every time you just wake up in the morning, forget walking in a service. When you wake up in the morning, take a moment And it doesn't have to be some big thing. And this is not a message about we should walk around feeling sad about who we are. No, it's just understanding who we are without him. And in light of that, why we should worship him, why we should respond. Listen, I want to read this last scripture. It's in 2 Peter. It says this, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know one, him, the one who called us himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption. Verse 5, in view of all of this, make an effort to respond. It goes on to say in verse 8, it says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be with your knowledge of Jesus. But those who fail to develop are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Says if you get to a point in your life where you just stop responding, you're short-sighted. Esau was short-sighted in a moment. He didn't realize what would happen, but I want to stop, and over any revelation, I want to remind you. Even though it seems loud right now, even though that soup looks really good, don't make the trade. Don't trade your worship for worry. Don't trade your worship for a wrong moment. Don't trade your worship for something that seems so big. I promise you, God's with you, and his grace is sufficient for what you're going through. He has a plan for your life, and he is working it all out. The Bible says he's worked all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In view of God's grace, in view that we needed saving, in view of who we are without him, our only response. That's my last point. You can write that down. Number 4, worship is my only response. Because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of how good he's been, I can stop and there could be music playing or there could be no music playing. I can be happy or I can be sad. I can have a lot of money or no money. I can feel like it's all working out or I don't have a plan. But in view of his grace, my only response is worship. And I believe we're going to be a church that we're not going to trade now for later. We're not going to trade convenience for something that could really change the rest of our lives. Listen, I want to pray for you today. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray for two groups of people. The first group is maybe some people in this room who, if you're honest with yourself, you've thought about making the trade. It's not that you don't understand God's grace. It's not that you don't love God. It's not that. It's just in the moment right now, you feel like there's a lot of pressure. You feel like you don't have a plan. You feel like the healing was supposed to come. You feel like it was supposed to work out. You thought by now the marriage would be whole. And right now, the present situation seems bigger than the promise. Right now, responding to his grace seems really hard because it doesn't seem like you understand or doesn't seem like he's there. But right now, I want to pray that you would be reminded. That you would be reminded that his grace is with you. That it's enough and it's always been there. So if you're in here and you say, you know what, Charles, if I'm honest, I need that reminder. I need to remember who I am without him, because without him, I'm not enough. But today I'm deciding that I'm always going to respond. I'm always going to respond, and I don't need my type of song or my music. But today, if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand right now? And hands all over the room. Saying, God, I thank you for those people, Lord, who are saying, Lord, we're not enough without your grace. And Lord, we're going to make a decision to stay reminded that because of your grace, because of who you are, because of what you've done, Lord Jesus, our only response is to worship you. You can put your hands down. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed. There are some of you in here and We talk about responding in worship, but before that, there's something you need to know. And it's pretty easy to talk about because it's grace. And it's crazy to think that God would look at a world that was broken, that was hurting, that had evil hearts, that didn't even care about him. And he said, it doesn't matter, I still love you. Someone needs to be reminded, thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. You need to know he still loves you. What you did not disqualify you for his love. What happened to you did not disqualify you from his love. What people have said about you, nothing can disqualify you from his love. And there are some people in here right now that you need to respond to his grace, and you need to surrender your life to him. You've tried doing it by yourself. You've tried living life on your own, but you're coming to an understanding that I need something bigger. I need a savior. Listen, there are those of you that's why you're here today, is to make the decision to follow Jesus. To say, I'm done living life on my own. I'm done doing it by myself. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need him to come save me from my current situation. Listen, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get your life together. You don't have to change. If God can get your hearts, he'll help you change your habits. But in a moment, you can make a decision that would change your life forever. So I'm going to ask you on the count of three that you would lift your hand. Don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about what they'll think. This is between you and God. 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand right now if you want to respond to that grace. I see you right here in the back. I got you, ma'am. Over there, I'm so proud of you. Over here in the back, I see you, brother. So amazing. So proud of you. Listen, Transformation Church, we are a family and no one prays alone. So I want everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, thank you for laying down your life to save mine. I admit I've made mistakes. Save me, change me, transform me. In Jesus' name I pray. Transformation Church, can we make some noise for those who just made that decision to follow Jesus?
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.